Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette. I'm an editor at HowStuffWorks.com, and as usual, sitting across from me, I have senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
We're on a road to nowhere.
Which just goes to show you that we're not a couple of talking heads.
That's right. Before we get into this topic, we have, actually, it's a twofer. First, we have a little listener mail. This listener mail comes from Sam, and Sam says, "Hello, John and Chris. I really enjoy your show, and I appreciate all the wonderful information you provide about various tech. Keep up the good work. Could you guys perhaps do a podcast that covers how network routers such as Linksys and others work for and their role in office and home networks? That'd be swell if you did. Thank you guys for making such entertaining yet informative podcasts. Cheers. P.S. Is there any chance that the old listener mail audio clip might be played again? You know, the one with the annoying alarm. I like the new one, and I know it is stuck, but there are times where I yearn to hear the old one." Sam, this is for you. Everyone else, please turn down the volume on your various playback devices. You have been warned. And now that I have warned you, here comes a little old-school sound effect for listener mail! But on top of the listener mail that we just read from Sam from Austin, Texas, we also had a little Facebook feedback.
Yippee!
This comes from Scott, who says, "Hey, I was wondering if you guys could do a podcast about routers, the different uses for them, and which is best for gaming, streaming video, etc. Thanks so much. Your episode on IPv6 was great, and the number of IP addresses was nuts." You're telling me, Scott. I'm still trying to get my breath back. So we are going to talk about routers. And before we get too far into this, I want to say we have some great articles on HowStuffWorks.com about routers. So if you want to get more information, I recommend checking out how routers work. Also, how network address translation works. Both of those are going to be important in this discussion. So let's talk about what a router is and what it does and why it's important.
Yes, in talking about what value it has to the internet, let's just say there wouldn't be one without routers.
Yes.
Because you know, of course, the internet is a network of computers.
It's just a network of networks.
Yes, it's exactly. It's a basically it's a vast system of computers talking to one another via multiple networks.
Yeah, and protocols.
So yes, well, yeah, they use the protocols to talk to one
yes.
another. But yeah, I mean, you might have only one computer in your house, and it hooks up to, you know, the networks at the internet service provider, and then those go to other networks, and it just goes on and on and on. Or you might even have multiple computers in your house running on another network, which is attached to the other networks.
Yeah.
That's why they call it a cloud, because there's no definite shape to the internet. It all depends on what's on and what's off at any given time. And these routers make it possible, especially when you do have one line coming into your house and you have multiple computers.
Yeah. So what routers allow is the transfer of information across different layers of communication. Now, what I mean by that is that the Open Systems Interconnection, or OSI, model of communication divides up communication into seven layers. And really, we're just going to be thinking about the first three layers here.
Actually, now I'm thinking about seven-layer bars.
Yeah, I'm thinking about seven-layer dip. So, dip. So the seven layers are – this was a system that was proposed by Charles Bachman of Honeywell Information Services.
Mm-hmm.
Honeywell, of course, is one of those big names that's important in computer science.
Yeah, they've done all kinds of technological things.
Yes. So the seven layers are – sort of, it's a concept. It's so that you can break down what sort of communication happens between various components within a communication system. And it's so that you can really figure out, all right, well, how do we have these various layers interact with one another? Which ones need to be, you know, segregated from the rest? And just kind of a way of defining it, at least from an ideal perspective, as opposed to necessarily a physical one. But layer one is what we call the bit layer. It's the physical layer of data communication. So we're talking about physical elements such as pins and the voltage. It's also electrical layout. It's the voltage that you need to transfer information. And really, you're talking about a single device communicating through some sort of medium. So this is where we're talking about one device. We're not connecting it to anything else on a layer one layer of communication. Layer two is where we'd start talking about communication between devices. And in this case, we're talking about communication between devices within a local area network, or LAN.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So at a LAN, you do not need a router. We actually had another fellow write in recently on our Facebook page. I posted a quiz about routers, and he pointed out that this is Carl who said this. Call me pedantic, but question one, a home network does not require a router to operate either. Carl is absolutely correct. You do not need a router to allow communication within a local area network. You need a switch that can switch the data back and forth, but you don't need a router.
That's the difference.
Right. So this is layer two. All that communication within layer two, within a local area network, a single network, can be controlled through a switch. You don't have to worry about a router at that point. Now, if you want to communicate to a device that's on another network, this is where the internet comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The internet is that network of networks. So let's say I want to visit a website, and the server that has that website's information on it is not on my local area network, but is on some other network, possibly on the other side of the world. That's when you need a router. Because what the router does is it controls the information moving from your local area network to the internet so that it will go to the proper place. And it also receives information from the internet and transfers it to your local area network so that you can view it or interact with it in whatever way.
Right.
So that's the basic purpose of a router. And it's, you know, when you break it down that way, it makes it easier to understand why routers are important. Without a router, you would not be able to have this data transfer between a larger network or a computer on another network and your computer. You would be able to have communication through a local system, but not through a global system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Unless you had a really long cable.
Yeah. And that's especially important for the internet because as you will remember, or at least as long-time listeners will remember, traffic on the internet goes in little pieces.
Yeah, packets.
Or packets. They're actually called packets. Mm-hmm. And they're sent redundantly. So, you know, you might take a file, say an email, and break it down into a series of packets. Each of those has some information that tells where it's going, where it's coming from, and what piece it is. It might be, you know, piece three of packet three of 40, let's say.
Yeah.
So it tells the network where to send it and how to reassemble it when it gets there on the other side. Well, the thing is, it might say, okay, well, I'm going from computer A to computer B to computer C to computer D. Well, all of a sudden, there's a power failure at computer C. So it goes from A to B. Oh, it's stuck. Well, in the internet, it's set up where the packets can be sent and rerouted around computer C. So you might go to computer F and then back to computer D.
Yeah.
Because they can be sent in multiple directions at the same time. And then, you know, with the idea that one set of packets will be reassembled into the file on the other end.
Right.
And the router is crucial to making this happen.
Yeah. Routers have this thing called a routing table. And a routing table is essentially a guide saying, This is the direction you need to send packets in order for information to come to go from this machine and get to that machine. So machine A and machine B, we'll say. All right. So a routing table will, in general, give the fastest route. Now, the fastest route is not necessarily the shortest route.
True.
And it's the same as if you live in a city. All right. So let's take the city as a kind of a metaphor here. We're going to look at the city as an analog to the internet.
Okay.
It's not entirely analogous, but we're going to kind of make some jumps here.
Right.
So let's say you live in a city and the city tends to have a lot of traffic in it, and you may be at your house and you want to go eat at a popular restaurant that's across town. And so you know three different ways of getting to the place across town. One of them takes the least number of turns. It's the most direct route, but it's also the most heavily trafficked route. So in other words, you could go that way and you wouldn't have to turn as frequently, but because of the number of cars on that route, it will actually take you longer to get there than if you took a slightly more circuitous route mm-hmm. that would have less traffic on it. So in that case, you say, you know what? I know that this is the direct path, but I'm going to take this more out of the way path. It's a shortcut in time, but not in distance. And the same thing is true on the internet. You might be able to find a route to push traffic through that's going to be faster, even though it's not as direct. By the way, if you happen to live in Los Angeles, I understand that this is a sport. That in Los Angeles, if you have a group of people and you have all decided to go someplace, the first hour of your travel time will actually be taken up spending time talking about the best way to get to where you're going.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done very little driving in LA, so.
Well, what's required is that you and at least one other person, each in their own vehicles, have to be going to a specific place, leaving from the same location. And at that point, you have launched into the game.
Okay.
Where then you say, no, you don't want to do that. That's going to take you on the 405. And haven't you heard of Carmageddon? And so, yeah, it's same sort of thing. Now, granted, if the city were empty, then the direct route would be the shortest.
Yeah.
But the city is never empty because the zombie apocalypse hasn't happened yet. At least at the time of the recording of this podcast.
Yes. So.
And by the way, if the zombie apocalypse has happened since we recorded this podcast, I would like to have a shout out to all of our new listeners with brains. We're great with the zombie demographic.
Oh.
I'm a little loopy today.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't noticed.
Yeah. So anyway, the routing table is this list of essentially rules that the router follows in order to send packets across the network. And you might say, well, that seems pretty stiff and inflexible. What happens when things change? Well, routing tables are not static. They are dynamic. They change all the time. And what's happening is routers are actually communicating with each other across the internet, constantly updating this information and changing it so that the most efficient route is constantly being adjusted. And they're doing this through various protocols, routing information protocol or RIP, RIP. That would be one of the common protocols used. Another one is the open shortest path first, or OSPF protocol. These protocols are what routers use in order to update these routing tables so that data will go across the network, across the internet, in the most efficient way possible. The way that's got the best guarantee that your information is going to get to where it needs to be. And each packet that Chris was talking about earlier has data in it that allows it to, the system to keep track of it. So let's say that you've sent a file, like let's say I'm sending a file to Chris, and Chris is on one network and I'm on another network. And some of my packets don't get through. Well, the system keeps track of that. What'll happen is information will come back to my computer and it'll say, hey, packets 3, 7, and 12 out of the 40 that you sent never made it to Chris's machine. Then my machine will automatically resend those packets so that they will hopefully get to Chris's machine. Now, granted, all this is happening at near the speed of light, so you don't really notice the delay unless something's really, really bad has happened. This is all happening in the blink of an eye, but it's happening over and over and over across the internet.
Right. just to go back to protocols too, yeah. The protocols are basically, languages that the routers use to speak to one another. It enables people, multiple manufacturers to make devices that will communicate with one another and be interoperable, which is, you know, we talked about that actually on our podcast about how the internet works. And then we mentioned on some of the others, I think we probably did on IPv6,
yeah,
that there are certain protocols that allow a Mac to talk to a Linux box and the Linux box to talk to a PC and et cetera.
Right. So, they're all using the computer equivalent of Esperanto.
Yes. No. Anyway, yeah, that's what a protocol is. And routers do have those protocols that are specific to routers. And that does help them balance the load somewhat on the internet.
Yeah, we should say, I guess, that a router really is a very specific computer. It's not just this box that you buy and, you know, it's got lights on it. And when it's lit up, you know that the information's going through. It is actually a very specific type of computer.
Yeah, a very specialized device.
And a lot of the routers, like the home routers that you purchase for your home network, whether it's wireless or wired, also tend to act as a switch. And what by that I mean that it allows you to have your computers talk to one another. So if you have multiple computers at your house, you can send files from one machine to another machine without having to set up like some weird email thing or whatever. You can actually send it directly through your home network because your router also can be a switch. It's not just a router that sends information from your network to the internet and back. Also, when we were talking about information going across the network and figuring out the most efficient way, in the sense of routers, what they do is they calculate the cost of any particular data transmission. And cost does not mean dollars. It means hops. Mm-hmm. All right. So when a router sends information across the network, information may go from one router to another router to another router until it finally gets to wherever it's going.
Yeah.
All right. Each time that information goes from one router to another, that's called a hop.
Yes.
All right. Now, certain protocols have a limited number of hops that are built into any sort of data transference. And that information is stored in the data packet. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's almost like I'm passing a note in class. And the note can only pass through three other people before it gets to my destination.
Is one of them the teacher?
The teacher accesses the packet of information, it gets discarded, which is very much like what happens on the internet,
actually.
That's
a good point.
So let's say that, again, now we're talking about a classroom. So Chris is sitting across the class from me. I'm on one side. He's on the other side. I want to pass him a note that says something like, I don't know, didn't the teacher wear that same outfit yesterday? And so I'm trying to send the note across the class, and it can only pass through three other hands before it hits Chris. If it passes through more than that, then whoever the fourth person is like, this is not worthwhile, and just tosses the note away. Same thing is happening with hop counts. If I send a packet of information, if I'm sending a file to Chris and it's going across the internet, there's a certain number of hops that packet will go through before it hits the maximum number of hop count. Now, that does not mean that the packet just automatically gets thrown away. It means that the system says, you know what? This packet has gone through this kind of serpentine pathway in order to get to where it's going. It's not getting there efficiently. Chances are this packet has already made it to the destination through a fewer number of hops. So I'm just going to toss the packet aside. Because otherwise, because the internet is a redundant system and because it's meant to be robust and it's meant to get a packet of information to the destination through whatever means possible within the parameters of the internet, if you didn't have these sort of discard systems put into place, the internet would become overrun with packets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I'm sending that file to Chris and there's these duplicate packets going across the network, what happens when one packet gets to the destination and the other packets are still out there trying to get to the destination? You're starting to clog up the internet with all of this data. So these fail safes are in place in order to prevent the internet from just bogging down with too much data.
Yeah, they didn't have to buy a digital router and go in and
we've got the routers, but not the routers.
Router routers.
Yeah, I had to call them once. It did not go well.
No, it's never. Anyway.
Yeah.
So in order to make all this work, in addition to your router and your network, you also have to have an address, unique address for each item on the network.
And this we've talked about in the IPv4 versus IPv6 podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, you would have every single device that connects to the internet would have its own unique address so that whenever I want to send something to another device or receive information from another device, it would always go to the same address. And that way it's just efficient. It's a clean, efficient system. But we don't have enough addresses to do that.
Right. But each item, and you may have actually seen this when you're going into your computer or, other devices like tablets and smartphones that use internet networks.
Or video game systems.
Video game systems, set-top boxes.
Yep.
TVs.
There's a lot of different devices that do it now, which is, again, part of the problem.
Yeah, this is called a MAC address.
Mm-hmm.
It's known as media access control. And it doesn't look like it kind of resembles an IP address because it has a series of letters and numbers separated by colons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how you can identify, say you have been foolish and have left your wireless network open to the public. And you have, let's say, a computer and a tablet. And wait a minute, there are three things on your network. Well, then you can look at the MAC address on your computer and you can look at the MAC address on your tablet. And by process of elimination, figure out what the other device is and maybe even get an idea if you can access the router's information page. You can see what's going on, how much traffic it's using, and hopefully shut it down. You can even on most of them, I would guess. I just don't want to be absolute. Restrict it to certain MAC addresses. So you can actually add, you can on mine, on the device I have at home, you can say, I'm adding this tablet, I'm adding this game console, I'm adding this smartphone. I actually use Wi-Fi calling on my smartphone,
mm-hmm.
And things like that, and say, okay, I'm only allowing MAC addresses that I know to join this network.
Right.
But basically, this is a way for, local networks to identify the devices and send the packets that go to that device. So they know that if you are reading howstuffworks.com and your spouse is looking at a news network, and, you don't get the packets mixed up. It says, oh, well, these belong to this address, these belong to that address, and I'm going to be the traffic cop and send the right packets to the right place.
Right. Yeah, this kind of ties into network address translation, which I referred to at the beginning of the podcast. We've also talked about that in the IPv4 versus IPv6.
Yes.
It's one of the ways to address the problem of having more devices in the world than we have available IP addresses for those devices to connect to the internet. Now, for information to travel across the internet, it means that you have to have an internet protocol address. This allows the information to travel across. It allows other computers to find you, and allows your computer to send information to other computers. Without the IP addresses, you of course would have no way of knowing how to get information from one machine to another. It's kind of like, in a sense, it's kind of like a physical address or a phone number. If we didn't have phone numbers, if it was all a party line, you would just have to pick up the phone and hope that whomever you're trying to contact is also on the phone at that time. And everyone else would be able to hear your conversation at the same time and butt in.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Have we ever talked about party lines?
I don't think so.
That might be fun.
Then we can add that to the to-do list. So the network address translation, this is a layer that could be very useful. In this sense, you would have a router that would have a number of static IP addresses,
uh-huh.
or it possibly would have a number of addresses assigned to it by the whatever your internet service provider is.
Uh-huh.
Your devices would not have static IP addresses. They would have like some non-unique IP address.
Yeah, dynamically assigned.
And because they are non-unique, that means you can't just automatically tag into the internet and send stuff, because if it's a non-unique address, that means some other devices out there on the internet may also have that same address. So anything you request would be sent to all of them. So what happens is your router acts as kind of a postmaster.
Mm-hmm.
You have this non-unique address. You send information to the, you're trying to get a, let's say again, a website. I'm trying to visit a website. That request goes through to my router. My router then replaces my non-unique address with a unique static IP address and keeps track of that relationship within the routing table, within its own protocols. Sends that request out to the internet. It eventually gets to the server that I want. The information comes back to the router. The router says, all right, this information is meant for static IP address, whatever. Now it has to refer to its table and see which of your devices on your home network, your local area network, has temporarily been assigned that static address.
Mm-hmm.
It then sends the information to you. If you are no longer part of that network, or if it can't identify it, it gets dumped. It dumps that information, so it goes nowhere. Now, this is one of the things that kind of it depending on the type of engineer, it can really irritate engineers, because it's a less efficient system. And this is also one of the issues with gaming routers.
Yeah.
We talked about, the request asked about what kind of routers are best for gaming. Well, because of the network address translation, this can slow down data transmission a little bit. I mean, there can also be some compatibility issues, especially if the router has to change the IP address for whatever the device is. Like, if you've got a lot of devices that are connecting to this router, there could be some complications. And complications when you're gaming, that's a bad thing, because it's going to affect how fast that information is traveling to whichever device you're using to game.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Well, that can mean that you'll get lag in the game you're playing. It means that you might get artifacts. The game will not play as well as you would want it to.
Yeah.
So any device that's using that, that's one of the things you got to look at. Like, well, how well rated is this router for that particular function?
Mm-hmm.
Also, depending on, like, well, if you are a serious gamer, you probably want a wired router. Now, a lot of the wireless routers also have wired connections to them.
Yeah, mine does.
Yeah, so you probably want a wired connection, and the reason for that is that it's more reliable than wireless. You are less likely to have interference. You're not going to find a dead spot. Like, you know, if you have your wireless network set up in one room and you tend to game in a different room, and there are certain materials in your walls, it may end up blocking some of the signal, which means that you may not have a clear signal, and that'll affect your gaming.
Yeah.
So a wired connection tends to be best. If you want to go wireless, the IN protocol tends to be the best. It's the fastest, and it has a really good penetration as far as various materials goes. So if you have a wireless router set up, it's a pretty good bet. G is the next step. I would go with either N or G, preferably N. Now, you have to make sure that whatever devices you're using are compatible with that particular protocol.
Yes, that's the 802.11.
Yes.
protocol.
Yeah.
With the various flavors, A, B, G, N.
Yeah. And so if you have a, if you have a device that is running, that it can accept G, I mean, these are all different kinds of radio frequencies.
Yes.
But it is designed for a G frequency, then
G rated.
Yeah. And you have an N router, it's not going to work. They are not compatible. You have to have one that can do, I mean, there are plenty of routers out there that will do multiple frequencies, and there are plenty of wireless chips out there that can do multiple frequencies as well. But you want to make sure that you do have that compatibility in there, or else, you know, you might have the fastest connection with the router possible, but your device is not compatible. Also, keep in mind, this is also very heavily dependent upon what your internet service provider plan is.
Yeah.
Because if if you have the fastest router, you think of it like a doorway. It could be a really, really wide doorway, but the path is really narrow once you open the door.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help you. You have to have that broadband connection with a really good data transfer rate for the router to even make a difference. If you don't have that high speed internet connection, if your cable modem or however you're getting your internet, if that is a bottleneck, the router is not going to help. You have to have that too.
Yeah, keep in mind too that if your ISP caps data, you might keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
Depending on what you're doing, it may not make a difference. Most people never reach their ISP's data cap.
Yeah, that's changing as people are getting more into like consuming streaming video.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are watching some streaming video service, and perhaps you have it on a couple of different televisions. I mean, it's not unusual now. You might have a Roku box on one machine, one television. You might have an Xbox 360 or PS3 on another one. You could potentially have 5 or 6 different televisions all consuming streaming video. Now, granted, that's gonna cause a pretty big bottleneck too. You gotta have a really good internet connection and a decent router for that to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not impossible. It's impossible with my setup, but it's because I have a much slower home network. But yeah, if you don't, that's possible. And then that could very quickly run up against a data cap.
Right. Did you want to touch on, there's one issue I thought it might be interesting to touch on, that's in the routers article on howstuffworks.com. And that's, what happens when people intentionally try to clog a network.
Why don't you
hit a router?
Hit me up with it, Daddy-O.
That would be a DOS, a denial of service attack. And basically in these attacks, what happens is someone will intentionally send as many packets as possible to the same spot. So basically, you remember we were talking just a few moments ago about how routers are aware of what else is going on in the network.
Yeah.
And they talk to one another and they communicate. Well, if you know where there is a specific router, and it leads to, say you're someone who has a grievance against a company and you know where their router is, you can send, you know, billions of packets to it. Someone's going to correct me and say they can't be that many, but let's say lots and lots of packets to it in an attempt to overwhelm the router and give it so much traffic that it cannot handle it, and it will cause it to have errors, basically.
It'll become really sluggish or possibly even have it just shut down.
Yeah, it's certainly been known to happen. And then variation of this, which is becoming more common, is the DDoS, or distributed denial of service attack, which happens a lot in a lot of cases with botnets, where people have installed some kind of malware on their computer and someone is running this attack to, basically take over possibly thousands of computers and have all of them send an attack against one target at the same time,
right.
Which, as you might imagine, if you had thousands of computers working on this problem, as it were,
sending requests at the speed of light all to a single target,
it's very easy to overwhelm a single router with that kind of traffic. So when you hear about these attacks, you can keep that in mind, that there's some router somewhere that it's doing its level best to handle the traffic, but is just not keeping up with a flood of packets swarming at it.
Yeah. And also, on that same note, because a router is essentially a computer, you can install software on that router so that it has its own protections against such things. So when you hear about people talk about firewalls, there are various ways you can have a firewall. You can – a computer firewall. You can have it as a software layer. You can have it as a hardware layer. Well, router is kind of a hardware layer level firewall. A lot of routers come with a firewall system in place that you can configure once you set up your router. And this will help protect your home network system from intrusions, from malware coming in, from unrequested data coming in, so sort of a spam protector as well. And routers can also have other kinds of software programmed into them, things like encryption, mm-hmm. Intrusion detection, that kind of stuff. So depending on the model of router, that'll tell you what kind of protection is built into the system. And, you know, it's not uncommon to find routers come with firewall software pre-installed in the router itself, which is also very useful. I do highly recommend that if you're setting up a home area network and you want to have a router there to connect to the internet, setting up a firewall is a very good step. It's not just like any other security system on the internet. I have to stress, it's never foolproof. You're never going to have the perfect security system because people are ingenious at getting around firewalls and other kind of barriers. But it does mean that you're going to prevent the overwhelming percentage of attacks from getting to you because most people are also lazy. Mm-hmm. So they're going to aim for a wide array of targets, and they're going to be happy if they just hit a few of those targets. They're not necessarily aiming directly for you unless you're some sort of important individual with like a government or perhaps a news agency or something like that. If you have like a high profile status, then you might have to worry about more stringent security. But for the average user, it doesn't, a decent firewall is enough.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. Indecent firewalls are never enough. Well, I think that's a good discussion on routers. We really pretty much covered the basics there. And like I said, if you want to learn more, visit howstuffworks.com. Check out our articles on how routers work and how network address translation works. Those articles are very helpful to understand the ins and outs of how this data goes across. There's also some great animations and everything that show this in action. So if you have problems visualizing it, check out the website. It really does help. And guys, if you have any requests that you would like us to address, you can let us know via email. Our address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Or send us a little message on that Facebook or Twitter thing. Both of those places, our handle is TechStuffHSW. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like...
Whoa.
And...
Hmm.
Not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.